This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. If the controversy over steroids in sports seems so 2005, consider that home run king Barry Bonds sits in a San Francisco courtroom today waiting for a jury to reach a verdict on charges of perjury and obstruction of justice. Another slugger, Manny Ramirez, retired last week after he tested positive for banned substances. Again, Roger Clemens' perjury trial is scheduled to begin in a few weeks' time, and in the current issue of Bicycling Magazine, editor Bill Strickland reluctantly concludes it's now time to accept that his hero cheated and lied. A few athletes risk prison, but for many more, the issue is their legacy, the Hall of Fame, the yellow jerseys, and the gold medals. How does steroid use change your judgment on the legacy and reputation of great athletes? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, blue and gray soldiers man the batteries at Fort Sumter and Fort Moultrie in Charleston today. We'll talk with reenactors as we mark the 150th anniversary of the start of the Civil War. But first, steroids, lies, and legacy. And we begin outside that courtroom in San Francisco with NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman. Tom, always nice to have you with us.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. We're waiting for a verdict on charges that Barry Bonds lied to a federal grand jury. I wonder, though, is there much doubt that baseball's home run king has already been convicted in the court of public opinion?
I don't think that there's much doubt about that. Matter of fact, on one of the stories leading up to this trial, I interviewed a sports writer and author, Jeff Berlman, who writes for SportsIllustrated.com, who had written a book about Bonds. And he said what I think a lot of us know and feel is that if you ask 100 baseball fans, you know, did Barry Bonds use banned performance-enhancing drugs, 99 would say yes. It's not so much steroids are on trial here, but it's lying. As they always say, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. And the people we have seen get convicted related to the Balco doping scandal, it's been about, making false statements to grand juries, making false statements to federal authorities.
And in part, they didn't want to admit that their success was due to cheating.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we have come a ways, I suppose, in, you know, the so-called steroids era when guys were doing this stuff and it wasn't really tested for and they were, not caught. And to the, in recent years, more and more have been outed. A few have reluctantly and kind of nebulously admitted to doing it. We have yet, though, I believe, to hear the athlete who says, "Oh, absolutely, I did it. Here's why I did it. And we're all involved and responsible in this." So that's where we're at now. We still have people fighting charges that, as you said, the court of public opinion believes are kind of slam dunks.
Marion Jones, we once would have thought of her as a great runner, but ended up doing time in prison because of her lies.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, and it is part of her legacy. It is going to be part of all these people's legacies. I hate to use this phrase, but time will tell as far as, what emphasis we give it. When we start writing about these people in the history books 20, 30 years from now, will the conversation be different about performance-enhancing drugs? Will there be a level of acceptance? I mean, there are some people out there who say, you need to legalize it, medically monitor it. Others who say that's crazy, and that it will always be the kind of cat-and-mouse game and, catch and punish the way it is now, or try to punish.
And it's whether you return a gold medal or, I guess in baseball, the proof thus far has been that no athlete who has been connected with performance-enhancing drugs has thus far received anything close to the requisite votes to make it into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's right. The Baseball Writers of America who vote in the players have been very cranky on this issue. And even guys who, perhaps are peripherally involved and nothing there's no evidence, there's nothing close to proof other than a body getting bigger and maybe a surge in offensive production if you're a batter. Someone like Jeff Bagwell from the Houston Astros. Right, there is, there's no sense now that the baseball writers want to let these guys in. Mark McGuire, who famously kind of admitted, kind of acknowledged that he had used banned performance-enhancing drugs, his numbers with each vote have gone down. So, as I said, the mood is not good right now as far as induction and voting into the Hall of Fame. But again, who knows what that'll be like in 20 years.
Bring us up to date in the meanwhile on what's happening there in San Francisco. Yesterday, the jury asked to hear some testimony read back to them.
Yes, that was the testimony of Kathy Hoskins, who, how's this for a title, was the former personal clothes shopper. I have to get one of those people myself. Clothes shopper to Barry Bonds, who in her testimony said that she had witnessed back in 2002 Bonds being injected by his former personal Greg Anderson. A lot of people know about Anderson because he was in jail for the duration of this trial for his refusal to testify. Kathy Hoskins said she didn't know what was in the syringe, but she said she saw a regular-sized syringe and that Bonds was being injected around the navel. That's consistent with human growth hormone injections that are often the player will squeeze a little layer of fat around their belly and inject right there. Bonds, according to Kathy Hoskins, said it's just a little something-something for the road. He was about to go on a road trip, and he said, according to her, that it's not detectable. You can't catch it. That was considered the prosecution's key evidence, and so a lot of people, watchers here and reporters, who are trying to figure out what the jury is going through, are reading into that and saying, well, it shows they're really focusing on the prosecution's key evidence. Does that mean that things are swinging the prosecution's way? We don't know.
We don't know. And obviously, with a jury, you never know when they're going to come in with a verdict. So we're going to ask you to hang on the line with us and understand that you may have to run away.
That's right.
Well, in the meantime, let's bring another voice into this conversation. Bill Strickland is editor-at-large at Bicycling Magazine and has covered Lance Armstrong for many years. He spent a year with Armstrong and wrote a book, Tour de Lance. In a story in this month's issue of Bicycling Magazine, Strickland wrote about Armstrong and doping and why he's now changed his mind. Bill Strickland joins us from WDIY, a member station in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Nice to have you with us today.
Hi, Neil.
And I guess you've gone through what might be described as the five stages of Lance.
Yeah, exactly. I've been a fan of his since 1994, a longtime follower. Throughout his career, as different circumstantial evidence came up and charges came up, I sort of varied in whether I thought he could have ridden clean. But I always thought it was important to sort of hold the line until I thought 100% that I knew he had doped before I said anything publicly.
And there's a moment in your story where you're riding in a car with Team Lance, and his trainer says, he's one of us.
It was at the Tour de France in 2009, his comeback year. And I was never, I was never going to, say, Lance's kids' birthday parties or anything. I was never that close. But I was definitely on the outer ring of the inner circle, I guess is the best way to describe it.
And yet you now say it's time to conclude that, yes, he cheated and, yes, he lied.
Yeah, there's just been, since his first tour victory in 1999, there have been allegations against him. There was an allegation in that tour that he used a corticosteroid, and his team ended up turning up a prescription for it, which would have exempted him. After he retired, there were allegations that they'd found EPO in his blood from previous tours. So it's been ongoing, but as I looked into it recently, I finally came to the conclusion that indeed he had doped.
And how does that change our evaluation of the man who would, I guess otherwise, if these allegations did not exist, have been considered the greatest bike rider of all time?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, and that's what really intrigues me about the story is what is his legacy. Unlike with Bonds or McGuire or Marion Jones, Lance Armstrong is an icon of hope to many people, to the cancer community, because of his past. He overcame cancer, came back to the sport, and won his tours. So we're dealing with a much broader issue. It's really a social issue rather than just a sporting issue. And it's a very complicated legacy for that reason.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. We're talking with Bill Strickland, the editor-at-large at Bicycling Magazine, and NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman, who's outside the courtroom where Barry Bonds waits a verdict on his perjury allegations, also charged with obstruction of justice. How do steroids change our perceptions of the legacy of great athletes? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Ed's on the line from Conway in Arkansas.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about Barry Bonds. I'm a Pittsburgh Pirate fan from way, way back, and I can remember when Barry was playing for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and it was obvious that that young man had a career ahead of him. He was a darn good baseball player. But it's so obvious, his physical appearance has changed so much since then. And it's a matter of class. Champions should be classy guys. If he wanted a hero to follow, it should have been more like Muhammad Ali and a little less like all the other guys that using the same steroids that he's using.
It's interesting you put it that way. Tom Goldman, the Pirates, Barry Bonds' first team, and the physical changes between his body between then and his days in San Francisco, pretty convincing.
They are pretty convincing, certainly for someone who is aging. You know, we usually go in the opposite direction. We don't usually bulk up. We usually have muscle atrophy. And if you can believe some of the testimony here, your head doesn't usually get larger. But it is interesting that the point the caller brings up about the, you know, hearkening back to the Pittsburgh days. You know, a lot of people who know much more about baseball than I do say, had Barry Bonds not touched any performance-enhancing drugs, as he is alleged to have done, he would have retired as easily one of the top 10 baseball players of all time. And I think there's, you know, there's a morality tale in here. There's a tale about, you know, reaching too far. But you know, if you believe the book, The Game of Shadows, very complete, comprehensive book about the whole Balco situation and Barry Bonds, when Barry Bonds saw what was happening.
Tom, I'm going to have to ask you to finish that thought when we come back from a short break. We're talking about steroids, lies, and legacies. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Doping allegations have plagued athletes in just about every field, from cycling to baseball to sprinting. No matter what the sport or the substance, steroids, blood thinners, hormones, a test that comes up positive for banned substances can have a major impact on an athlete's career and legacy. So does it matter to you? Tell us about how doping allegations change the way you feel about an athlete's legacy. Our phone number, 800-989-8255. You can send us an email, talk@npr.org, and join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman and Bill Strickland, editor-at-large for Bicycling Magazine, are our guests. Tom, let's go back to you. You were citing the Barry Bonds case and a passage from The Game of Shadows, the book about the allegations about Barry Bonds, and his decision after he had already been in a career where he would have been one of the 10 best baseball players of all time.
Right. The thinking was that Bonds watched what had been happening in 1998 with that dramatic home run race between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa that we now know is tainted as well. And Bonds saw himself performing wonderfully, but getting buried in the newspapers, you know, page 8, when Sosa and McGwire, the duel, was page 1 all over the country. And according to the authors, Bonds said, that's not right. I got to get me some of that. And so started what is alleged to have happened.
And Bill Strickland, I wanted to read something to you. This is a wire story that literally just moved a few minutes ago on the Associated Press. Italian Olympic Committee President Giovanni Petrucci says doping has become so rampant that his country's cycling federation needs to tell teams and riders to stop because nobody believes you anymore. The ultimatum came Tuesday, a day after CONI said it would open an inquiry into 30 high-profile cyclists, team officials, and physicians allegedly involved in an extensive doping operation. Part of the excuse that you hear from those who did it, Floyd Landis, for example, and about why they lied about it, well, everybody was doing it.
Right. You know, I'm not sure it's so much of an excuse as a reality. Or in Floyd's case, I know Floyd, and I've talked to him, that he's just trying to explain why he doped. We looked at, for the 7 years that Lance Armstrong won, we looked at the top 10. And of people who admitted to doping, were convicted of it, or paid a fine to make it go away, of the 70 possible riders in the years he won, 41 of them had doped. You know, that's a very strict definition. There are riders on there that a lot of people suspect, but even by just a strict legal definition, 41 out of 70.
Here's an email that we have from Mary Jo in Farmington, Washington. With everything that's going on with the economy, multiple wars, the government's budget crisis, why in the world is Congress or the court system involved in sports, steroid use, and spending time on these bozos? I found it an astounding waste of time and resources. Who cares if they use drugs? I don't. Take a look at all the athletes. Don't they seem larger than most human beings? And Bill Strickland, why is it important if Lance Armstrong turns out to have cheated and lied?
Well, it may not be. I mean, that's what we're going to find out in, you know, when the final summation of his legacy comes, which I think might not happen for 30 years, 50 years. The reason it seems important now is that he was, not just an athlete, but a cancer survivor, an inspiration to those who had cancer. He had the Livestrong Foundation, which is tied to him, is, you know, enormously important to the cancer community. And if indeed the ability of that organization is hurt because of the allegations against Armstrong, that's pretty big news. That's why it would matter.
And Tom Goldman.
Neil, if I can just weigh in on that as well. I think there are many people in the anti-Lance faction, and Bill lays that out in his article. There are many who say it is significant what he did, that Greg LeMond famously said this could constitute the greatest fraud ever in sport. Because, you know, if Lance Armstrong built what he did, which touched so many lives, on banned performance-enhancing drugs, at least partially, I know, and Bill pointed out in the article, these athletes don't just get up off the couch and become these supreme athletes. But if that was part of it, and he consistently lied about that, a lot of people will feel defrauded. And I'm not just talking about the alleged fraud that's going on now with the investigation. I'm talking about how he gave a lot of people hope that you really can, get up out of your deathbed and do a remarkable thing. And so I think there are people who feel that if the doping is real, that it is a significant part of his legacy.
And Bill Strickland, you quote him saying, "I am looking you in the eye and telling you I didn't do it."
That was on a ride I happened to be on with him. It was actually for a cancer surviving cause. And I just thought I should ask him. We were talking about some other incidents in his career, and I just asked him, and he looked at me and told me that he didn't do it.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. Let's go next to Josh. Josh with us from Berkeley in Michigan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Couple things. You know, I'm a longtime baseball fan here in Detroit. We love our Tigers. And I'll be honest, over the past couple of years, in large part because of the money in sports, but also due to the doping, I've been pretty turned off to it. And I say, you know, participating in this for an athlete is a high risk, high gain. They can be pumped up and end up in the Hall of Fame, but if they make the wrong decisions, then they can be cut down. And I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for that, and it makes it tough. It makes it tough to really know who to root for. My only real hope in this is that some of the second-tier, maybe third-tier players that don't really get the glory that the top-tier players get might just rise up a little and get a little boost from this and be respected for the hard work they put in, even if they're not putting up the huge numbers.
And Tom Goldman, that's always been one of the problems in baseball, is that it's not necessarily the great stars who do it. It's the people down at the minor league level who are hoping to get a taste of the show.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have found, I have certainly found in the last few years after baseball, Major League Baseball tightened up its drug testing, you don't see a lot of guys. That's what was startling about Manny Ramirez's news, was that you don't see a lot of the major leaguers. But I get a constant stream of emails from Major League Baseball announcing that, you know, another handful of minor leaguers were caught using some pretty powerful steroids, many of them in the Dominican and Venezuelan leagues. These are guys, a lot of times, who are poor and who are scratching and clawing to get what they need to get. So it's still there. And if, Neil, if I can just add one thing, I'm interested in Josh's ambivalence of what to do as a baseball fan. You know, I hear a lot in my reporting that, you know, people don't care so much anymore. You hear that a lot about the Bonds coverage. You know, why do we care? We know what he did. And there seems to be, you know, this doping fatigue out there. But I think Josh represents a number of people. I have no idea of quantities or proportions, but a number of people for whom this does matter. And the person who wrote in before who said, why is the government wasting its time? Well, baseball, as you know, Neil, is a religion in this country. A lot of people love this game. And a lot of people may be offended and hurt by the fact that there are some dishonest performances going on and have gone on in the past. And, yes, government could put its money into other things, but I don't think, you know, they're going, okay, we're going to put money into prosecuting Barry Bonds and that'll leave money away from doing something else.
It's also that federal prosecutors do not take kindly to a flamboyant perjury in front of grand juries or indeed Congress.
Well, that's true. I mean, aside from doping, I mean, this trial right here and the other trials related to the Balco scandal are about lying. And, these people aren't the first to have lied and allegedly lied, and they won't be the last. But, you know, you're still not supposed to do that.
Josh, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Bill Strickland, Marion Jones, who we mentioned earlier, was forced to return her gold medals. Some of her teammates were forced to return gold medals because she'd been a member of a relay team that won in the Olympic Games. And I wonder, does that happen in cycling? Is somebody asked to return the yellow jersey?
It happens and it doesn't. Floyd Landis returned his jersey. Bjarne Riis, who won a tour just before Lance did, he admitted to doping, and he still has his jersey. He's still active in the sport. He's a team director. So there's really no precedent. It's a very confusing issue.
Your article, in fact, lists an entire litany of great bicycle racers who are remembered for their exploits, all of whom later in their careers turned up dirty.
Yeah, cycling, from the second Tour de France, the top four finishers were kicked out for cheating. They were jumping in cars, taking trains. One of them pulled a gun on the other one. So it's, you know, sort of been dirty from the outset. And what tends to happen is the legends just sort of live on their legend, and we kind of forget about the sins that they committed to win the races.
Sins on the scale of Lance Armstrong's, would those be similarly, can those be forgiven?
This one seems bigger than the others. Certainly, you know, just because of the scale and the social aspect. And also the context is different. In cycling, it used to be that if you doped, you would be penalized, say, 10 minutes on the next stage or get a small fine. What really changed things is the medical doping. Rather than just taking amphetamines, now it's blood boosting and it's synthetic blood. And so that, you know, it materially changed the sport, and it seems to be a bigger crime to cheat than it was, say, in the 1970s.
Here's an email from Jake. I don't care. I'm not thrilled that these athletes take steroids, and I'm not sure if it's because I'm 25 and basically grew up accepting that athletes dope or what. But to me, it's just another way technology changes a sport. This from Jane in Livermore, California. I think it's unfortunate that most of these athletes could have done very well with no steroids or doping. I wonder, is that true? I mean, certainly true in Barry Bonds' case. It's certainly true in Roger Clemens' case, Tom Goldman. But other people, it seems to have made their careers, or at least made career years.
Yeah. You think of, like a Brady Anderson, Neil, in Baltimore. I can't remember what year it was when he, you know, exploded for 50. I think it was 50 home runs in the season. Guys like that, there are, you know, you have to take each individual case. But as I mentioned before, these drugs are not making superhuman athletes. You know, they are not getting up off the couch and becoming a Barry Bonds or a Lance Armstrong or a Marion Jones. They are at a high level. and how much of a boost these banned drugs are giving them, we really don't know because it hasn't been studied. We need to study.
We're talking about steroids, lies, and legacies. Tom Goldman, our NPR sports correspondent, is outside the federal courtroom in San Francisco, where he's waiting for a jury to come back on charges of perjury and obstruction of justice against former baseball great Barry Bonds. And Bill Strickland, the editor-at-large at Bicycling Magazine, joined us from member station WDIY in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Shirley, and Shirley calling from Wilmington, Delaware.
Wilmington, North Carolina.
Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm sorry.
Yes, I just want to say I'm a two-time cancer survivor, and someone like Lance Armstrong, he may or may not have taken performance-enhancing drugs, I don't know, but for those of us that have fought cancer, he will always be an inspiration. That man literally got off a deathbed, and he did something, whether or not it was helped along a little bit, who knows? But the point is, he succeeded. He's alive, and he did something nobody else has.
And the inspiration that he's given to so many millions, well, does that justify almost anything?
Not justify almost anything, but let's face it, who knows if he took drugs or not, or how much, or whatever. The fact is, that man had a cancer that kills thousands, if not millions. And the fact that he was able to turn his life around and take that devastation and be able to win those races is amazing. It is an inspiration.
And Bill Strickland, that's a lot of what your article is about.
I agree with her. I think a lot of people will agree with her. When I was researching the book, I spent time with people who had cancer and who were inspired by Lance, and it's a very powerful, important thing. And you know, we can sort of judge him on a sociological basis, but on an individual one-to-one basis, that matters to those people. And you know, I'm a fan of Lance's. This drives the anti-Lance camp crazy, and it drives Lance himself a little crazy, you know, since I've publicly said that I believe he doped. But I'm a fan of his. He was a great cyclist, and the night before the story came out, I was exchanging messages with Floyd Landis, who said, be sure to give him his due. He's Floyd used an expletive, which I won't repeat, but he basically said he was the greatest bike racer I ever saw. I think we should not forget that. And in sporting terms and in terms of inspiration, he's worth being admired for.
Shirley, thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
Here's an email from Leah, a prosecutor. As an attorney, I generally agree lying to a federal grand jury is an offense that needs to be held in check. However, what gets lost in all the discussion among sports writers about their heroes and potential cheating, etc., is the question of why this is something we should spend serious federal prosecutorial funds on, really. Steroid use among star athletes is a major federal crime issue. Fine them, fire them, prohibit them from playing, take away their medals, but don't tie up the federal courts with this issue. But again, Tom Goldman, Barry Bonds is not on trial for taking steroids.
No, he's not. He's on trial for making three counts of making false statements to a grand jury and one count of obstruction of justice. And that, you know, while the vehicle here is steroids, and that's why steroids, human growth hormone, performance-enhancing drugs, the lawyers here in this case are certainly trying to keep their eye on the ball, forgive the pun. And it's a legal matter, and it's a matter of lying.
And later this baseball season, Roger Clemens will be on trial here in Washington, D.C., again, not for using steroids, but for demanding a hearing before Congress so that he could swear up and down that he never used steroids when all the evidence suggests that, in fact, he did just that, and all of this was unnecessary except to provide Roger Clemens a chance to perjure himself. In any case, that's the allegation. He denies it. We're going to see what happens in the court case. Tom Goldman is awaiting a verdict in the Barry Bonds trial there in San Francisco. Thanks very much for your time, Tom.
You're welcome, Neil.
And Bill Strickland, editor-at-large for Bicycling Magazine, author of Tour de Lance, and he joined us today from member station WDIY in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The article to which he referred is in the current issue of that magazine. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll go back in history 150 years. Civil War reenactor Kevin Burke will join us to talk about why he fights for the North and the South. More on that in a moment. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We still have calls on the line. We're waiting to get in touch with our correspondent to talk about the reenactors of the Civil War. But in the meantime, we have callers on the line who still want to talk about the previous conversation about lies and steroids and legacy. And let's see if we go next to Larry. Larry with us from Sunnydale in California.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've just been listening with a really rapt attention here. And I work with in our local public schools, many third graders, fourth graders, and fifth graders, and in sports. And I can tell you really clearly that every single one of them is watching the Barry Bonds outcome if they're involved in sports. To them and to myself looking at this, it's relatively simple. Every third grader knows that cheating is not okay at some level. And when folks who cheat in sports are caught, they tend to lie about it. And that's literally the discussion that's going on here around Barry Bonds. The only real issue is that it's being warped by these millions of dollars that are involved to take us away from this very central thing. But, again, working with these kids, it's very clear that, one, they're watching what's happening, and, two, it's very simple from a third, fourth, or fifth grade view.
How I just have to ask, how important a figure is Barry Bonds to a third, fourth, or fifth grader who never saw him play?
Well, actually, very, because they know that he has the home run record, especially here in the Bay Area where the San Francisco Giants are such a big deal. He's really the stuff of legend. So it's very polarized, and the discussions are happening all across the board. I know in the classes that we work with, it's coming up regularly. Yeah, my sons as well.
Thanks very much, Larry.
You're welcome.
Let's go next to, this is Scott. Scott with us from Reno.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment really quickly. I worked in a bike shop for a long time, and I just find it unforgivable that someone could cheat. I feel so sorry for the people who didn't cheat, competed so well, trained hard, and never had a chance to make their mark because they were clean and they couldn't reach the level of the cheaters.
And never got to stand, even if they eventually are awarded the yellow jersey, never got to stand at the podium and accept the plaudits.
I find that just an appalling situation that we're putting in, that we're living in these days. And it's just such a sad thing to watch people train, dedicate themselves, and be honest and not get their due.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Scott.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go next to this is Will, and Will's with us from Conway, Arkansas.
Hi. I know a lot of people are saying, you know, cheating's bad and everything, but these guys are just entertainers. And, you know, everybody loves John Lennon. And, you know, you follow rock and roll, you follow creative writers, and all throughout history, these guys have been on drugs. And whenever you promote the idea that, you know, you've got to lie in order to do what you're going to do in order to, you know, make your way in the world, then you create a society based on hypocrisy and lies.
Yet,
and I think that's what the children are learning most.
There might be a difference, not that I'm advocating any of the drugs that John Lennon used or the alcohol that a lot of writers used. It didn't help them become better writers.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, and the purpose of performance-enhancing drugs is to make you a better athlete.
But then again, they also, you know, require the same training and discipline and things like that. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of, I don't know. well, I don't know. I just think that it's bad whenever you've got these people. There seems to be a lot of people that take these kind of drugs, and you know, like you're saying, the one caller that just called in a minute ago, he was talking about how basically all the kids are seeing them say, okay, cheating's bad, and what happens whenever you get caught cheating? You lie. That way you can get out of it.
All right, well, thanks very much for that. We appreciate it.
Okay.